Until yesterday, I thought it was our politics that were dividing our country, but then yesterday's football game showed me what it really is. So to half of you, I express condolences, and to the other half, congratulations. Hopefully, when you came in the church today, you noticed that we have some friends in high places that have joined us since your last visit here. We now have our long-awaited 6 new hand-carved statues that came from the north of Italy, and thanks to generous donors in the parish, they didn't cost 1 cent to the parish budget. These statues were supposed to be here at the end of June, but as the pandemic slowed the course of life for so many, it shut down the studios on the Swiss border where these were being carved. And so, by God's providence, they're here after all. Not one of them is broken while they were making their way across the sea, and they're here in time for All Saints Day. And that's a perfect time for us to welcome them to our church, because that's what any saint's statue should be meant to do. Not to help us worship them, because we only worship God, but it's our Hall of Fame. And one day we want to be part of it. And that's why we seek the intercession of the saints, because we want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. We want to join their ranks one day. And they inspire us to do that. They inspire us on how to overcome as they did. Through persistence and perseverance and trust in the Lord, saints who walked the earth, who now walk the streets of the new and heavenly Jerusalem, they have overcome. And one day we pray that we will be able to do the same. Because all of them, with the exception of St. Michael the Archangel, who was always an angel and never a person, all of these saints were just like us in every way, which means we have a greater chance of becoming more like them, again, in every way. So let's find out who we have here. First, there's Pope St. John Paul II, one of the longest-serving popes in our history, and many of you certainly have been around long enough to remember the impact that he made on our planet and on the church. Next to him, the great humble deacon of the 13th century, St. Francis of Assisi, the founder of the Order of the Friars Minor. Next to him, St. Thérèse of Lisieux, the little flower. She wanted to be a missionary and a martyr, but she never got further than the kitchen of the sacristy of the little cloistered Carmelite convent in Lisieux, and yet it was there, fulfilling her duties faithfully and well, that she too has overcome and become a saint to the Catholic Church. There's another Teresa over here, Mother Teresa of Calcutta, that great saint of charity, born in 1910, lived until 1997. Then, of course, St. Michael the Archangel, whose intercession we invoke at the end of every Mass as we pray that we too might be spared from the wickedness and snares of the devil. And last but not least, Michigan's very own, Blessed Solanus Casey. Perhaps some of you were there 2 years ago at Ford Field, that long walk from the bus in the rain to get to the Mass, where he was one step away from canonization. And how did he get to be blessed? How does he get to be canonized? In most cases, in the official process, there has to be a miracle that can be authenticated and attributed to that person's intercession. And so, if one more miracle can be found from someone asking Solanus Casey to pray for them, and those prayers are answered, then soon he will be St. Solanus. We're just planning ahead. We're hedging our bets. Maybe there will never be a statue of you. Maybe there will never be a stained glass window with your face in it. But will that really matter? These saints are not honored by these statues. It is not for their benefit or their glory. They're already in glory with God in heaven. They don't need anything from us. We need them. We need them to pray for us. Not just St. Anthony when we lose our keys, but to all of them when we lose our way. Because many of them did at one point or another. They didn't know necessarily from the time that they were children that one day they would be numbered among the saints of heaven, but they wanted to be, and hopefully we do as well. So often in life, we strive to meet our goals. As a child, perhaps it's to be the star athlete, or the star student, or the first violin in the orchestra, whatever the case may be. The older we get, we want to find the best spouse, have the best family, live in the best house, have the best job, get all the right promotions, all kinds of earthly accolades and achievements. But as we've heard time and again, you can't take it with you. All of those taken together or considered individually represent the earthly crowns of fading glory. But to become a saint, that's the imperishable crown, something that cannot die or decay. That's something that pays off in eternity. As Jesus promised in the Beatitudes, rejoice and be glad, your reward will be great in heaven. That's our goal. That's the one we all share. But are we living for it? Are we working for it? Do we put the blood, sweat, and tears that we invest in all those other things to try to get us across the finish line? Jesus has told us how to do it. He said, whoever would be my disciple must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You must take up your cross. So much of our life is spent trying to get away from suffering, not accounting for how much we've actually inflicted, but trying not to live in any kind of pain. And many times we'd like to believe that if I have faith, nothing bad will ever happen to me or those I love. Yet Jesus had more faith than all of us put together, and he suffered more than all of us put together. But he suffered because of love. He suffered because of his faith. But because Jesus was willing to go out to the cross, it means we won't have to suffer alone. We don't suffer in vain, and we will not suffer forever. Having these saints in the Hall of Fame praying for us and inspiring us by their lived example of faith gives us the encouragement, the inspiration, and the intercession we need in order to overcome as they have, to be perseverant and persistent and trusting in the Lord as they were. They will show us the way that leads us to him who is the way, the truth, and the life. But it's time for us to take up our crosses. If we want to join them one day, we need to take up our crosses here in this life. And no matter how many they are, no matter how heavy they are, no matter how far we have to carry them, if it has a great payoff like this, to be able to see the face of God forever and enjoy his warm embrace forever, then we would gladly, blood, sweat, and tears, be all in it to win it. We will carry those crosses far faithfully and well for God's glory, honor, and praise. So with all these new saints in our church and one blessed who's one step away, just yesterday on Halloween, there was another American who took a great step toward sainthood. And there was a beatification held right here in America at a cathedral in Connecticut. And it was for the venerable servant of God, Father Michael J. McGivney, who is now blessed Father Michael J. McGivney. Like Solanus, awaiting one more miracle through his intercession that will make him Saint Michael McGivney. We know him as the founder of the Knights of Columbus. No, he's not in these statues, but he is in one of the stained glass windows downstairs as you're coming through the glass doors in the parking lot. And he shows us that from very humble beginnings, a saint can be made. He was born in New England, in Connecticut, just before the American Civil War. And he grew up in a family of 13 children. That was probably considered an average-sized Catholic family in America at that time, one wonders. But the Catholics were heavily discriminated against. So often, employers and factories had signs in the window, Catholics need not apply. And so Catholic men often only got the worst and most dangerous jobs that were available. And that was long before OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, put in protections to keep us safe in the workplace. So many Catholic men came from Europe seeking a piece of the American dream to be fulfilled in the New World, only to die in the jobs no one else was hired to do. That was leaving a lot of widows and orphans, including Father McGivney's own family, who when he was 20, his father also died because of his job. And thus Father McGivney discerned not only a call to the priesthood, a job he fulfilled faithfully and well, but also envisioned a fraternal benefit organization where it would keep the men together, keep these immigrant Catholic families together instead of being chipped away by all the discrimination that was waged against them here in the New World. But also they would pool their resources to provide insurance benefits for all those widows and orphans whose fathers were dying in perilous jobs in these factories all over the East Coast. And so in 1882, aside from all of his parish work, which Father McGivney was fully engaged in, he founded the Knights of Columbus. Sadly, he would die only 8 years later in 1890. What was the cause of his death? A pandemic. And yet, at the time of Father McGivney's death, there were 57 Knights of Columbus councils that had risen up in those 8 years. But now, in these 130 years since his death, the Knights of Columbus features 14,000 councils in 12 different countries with 2 million members who, in the last 10 years alone, have donated almost $2 billion that they raised for charitable causes, still looking after the widow and orphan, but also becoming what Pope St. John Paul II called the strong right arm of the church. Father McGivney, born at the bottom of a huge family, at the bottom of the social ladder, into poverty at the time of the American Civil War, set in motion something that now impacts the lives of millions in our country and all across the world. That's how sinners become saints, persevering, persisting, and trusting in the Lord. So he's on his way to joining the Hall of Fame. But you know what? So are the rest of us.